kwakuwamkwamnyako nauvuku na undukufu hata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Once again, for tuning in to Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jomboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, snowy Radio Harambe studios today. And joining me from somewhere in the world, it's Safari Mike. Mike, is it snowing where you are?
It is not snowing here in Chow Larn Lake.
How do you spell that?
C-H-E-O-W. And Larn is L-A-R-N. Two words.
C-H-E-O-W is definitely Asian.
Okay.
Larn.
Oh. You say so.
Chow Larn Lake. Yeah, it's got to be Asian. So I'm... But it doesn't sound Chinese, so I'm going to take a... Let's see. Chow Larn... It's a lake. So it's got to be something... I don't know. Vietnam?
Close, Dave. Thailand.
That's not that close.
Yeah, it's not that bad, though.
No, no, no. It's not as bad as I usually am. The last two, I've been okay.
We're here studying the spectacled langur, also called the dusky leaf monkey. The spectacled langur has these white kind of bare skin around the eyes that make it look like it has glasses. Not dissimilar to the spectacled owl that looks like it has glasses. Newborns are born here. They're bright orange. That sort of cues into the rest of the troop that this is a little tyke that needs special care. By 9 months of age, it turns to its normal color of kind of dark gray. They're active for about 4 hours during the day. It's typically early morning and almost at night, so it's hard to keep track of them. I got nothing better to do, Dave, than talk to you for the other 20 hours.
You really are you really are digging the bottom of the barrel for entertainment then now. Well, it's fascinating that they come out that color, like an orange color.
A lot of langurs do that. A lot of monkeys that have large troops, typically langurs, where there's numerous different kinds in both Africa and Asia. The babies are often a bright either yellow or orange, and it's thought that it's to signal to the rest of the troop, who may not be the parents of that particular animal, that they need special protection. They need to keep an eye out on those guys.
Now, langur, differentiate that from a monkey.
I mean, it's just a kind of monkey, Dave. It's a monkey.
Okay. So it's small?
There's a family of monkeys called langurs. They're average size for a monkey.
Okay, cool. Well, on this show, we are going to discuss the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom, plus the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, Mike and I are going to go blue sky for the holidays at Animal Kingdom. But let's start off with the local news, and this is sort of Animal Kingdom related, but it appears, Mike, I don't know, have you seen this? The new section of the Disney website called Disney Animals?
I looked at it briefly. Yeah, I didn't spend too much time looking at it.
It is hopefully Disney's first attempt to add some animal information for guests to their website. There are about 10 different categories of species that they talk about, and there are species that they are involved with throughout the company and not just at the Animal Kingdom. There's some information there about turtles that they work with in down in Vero Beach. There's sharks, which obviously at Epcot, and so on and so forth. There's a little info about each animal, some info about the work Disney's doing with them, and then there's a little something about, you know, what we can do to help, kind of. They sort of just sort of give you some conservation information, but they don't really point you to specific conservation organizations like we do. While I appreciate the effort, I would say this, it's actually kind of lame. When you consider how many animals this company works with, I really hope they do a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, hopefully it's just the beginning point, starting point.
Yeah.
That, it'll just grow as time moves on.
It would be nice if they could add something to the in-park app experience that had some animal information, though that would probably crash the entire system. But the good thing is, you know, we've got you covered. So if you're looking for animal information, you go to Safari Mike's page. You'll find that tab at JomboEveryone.com. Mike's got literally dozens and dozens of different animals on there.
It's been a little while since I've done one. I have to do a couple more, I think.
Well, you know, Mike, when you're traipsing through the jungle, it's hard to... get Wi-Fi.
I got time as the langurs here are sleeping.
Yeah, so there, get on it. Our next story is, it appears the affection section at Rafiki's Planet Watch has reopened after being closed for a few weeks of refurbishment. Mike, from the photos I've seen, it doesn't appear that much really has changed. I mean, it looks like just a paint job or something to that effect.
Pretty much. A little sprucing up here, a little cleaning up there. Not much change. It looks essentially the same.
And speaking of things kind of opening, sections of the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail, one of my favorite sites in the whole park, have been temporarily reopened. This is kind of unusual to guests during the busy Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Certain areas, the aviary, the research center, and the hippo area, were closed and are now open and then are going to close again.
I think on Monday.
Yeah, December 1st. And a timeline for when they'll reopen has not been announced. We were under the impression for quite some time that it would have been completed by now. I believe, Mike, you can probably speak to this more than I can. They were doing some work on the bridge.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, a
I
lot
think
can
that's
go.
Done, though.
Yeah, it is done. Okay. So I maybe that took a little longer than they had expected or something to that effect.
I think both troops of the gorillas are out and about, and you could see them in the bridge. That area is done. It's now they're on the hippos and the aviary in that area.
Yeah, so they had them reopened, and I guess in good condition, and they're going to close December 1st, and now we have no timeline whatsoever for a for completion of the project. So,
We'll see. Yeah,
My guess is it'll probably open in some respect within the next couple of weeks as the Christmas crowds start showing up. If they're going to open them for Thanksgiving, they're certainly not going to leave them closed for Christmas if they can avoid it.
Right.
Okay. This actually, Mike, has been, even though the first three stories are kind of small, this actually is a big news week at the Animal Kingdom. There are a couple of big stories. Let's start with this one. We finally have a little elbow room in Discovery Island, as it appears the construction walls in front of the Tree of Life have been moved back. Let me try to explain for those who don't remember. This is the old location for the Cotton Top Tavern exhibit. They had... among other things, they had the walls all the way up to the point of where the old tip board was. And now they've moved them back behind what the old Cotton Top Tavern exhibit was. And all we see there is basically a paved area, an open kind of courtyard. Mm-hmm. The walls are still there. They're just further back, closer to the tree now. If we think back a few months to the concept art released by Disney depicting the new nighttime ideas coming for the park, we can see exactly what this space is for, or at least what they had planned then, which is going to be some sort of live musical entertainment in this area in the future at nighttime. I believe in the artist rendering Mike Viva Gaia was pictured in it. I don't know how much that really means, but that seemed to be what it looked like, if I'm not mistaken.
It was clearly Viva Gaia. Correct.
Yeah. And you've seen this. You've seen these pictures of the walls, correct?
Correct.
It's a big space.
Yeah, it's a lot of room there. As people may recall, when they first announced Rivers of Light, they made it sound like there was going to be live music almost in sync with the nighttime show. It's like almost incorporated within the show. And they showed this picture of Viva Gaia performing right in front of the tree. So this is obviously cleared out the space for Viva Gaia to perform there. I'm curious as to see if they're going to start performing there now during the course of the day.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, where they were, which was, I think, in front of the Avatar construction wall for a little while. I'm not exactly sure where they are now. So, I mean, we'll just see what happens.
The interesting thing, well, I shouldn't say interesting, but the thing that kind of sticks out to me is that sort of one of the, you know, one of the overarching ideas behind certainly Africa and Asia and Discovery Island was to not have big open spaces. That was a very conscious design element. This looks like a big open space. I just wonder how it kind of fits in. You don't really see that much pavement in the Animal Kingdom once you get through the gate outside of Chester and Hester's, obviously. But, certainly in Discovery Island, I wonder if it's kind of a sore thumb. When I first looked at it, I was like, whoa, that's a lot of space. That's a lot of pavement. That's a lot of tan rocks. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, if it indeed fits, so to speak.
And if they're going to do anything to fill the space in the meantime.
Right.
I mean, obviously there's not going to be bands there playing all the time. I mean, will there be kiosks there? Will there be like, you know, little stores, ice cream peddlers? I mean, who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, right.
Statues. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, there could be there could be lots of stuff in there, but one of the things that you see, the only thing that's there now really is there's some, like islands. I don't even know how you would describe it other than that. But it's kind of like, like tree planted islands. There's one or two that are just sort of sitting there in the middle of this area. I don't know where they come from, but I guess to kind of fill in some space. I'm not really sure. But have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know what to say.
It's kind of my thing is I don't know whether or not this is going to be an eyesore, but we'll see as I get to look at it myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a transition period, so, you know, I mean, in fact, there's still walls there. So once everything is cleared and there's more space in Discovery Island and those trails and how it fits, and we'll see then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's, you know, the whole park is a work in progress.
Right.
So we got a lot to go here. Speaking of a work in progress, we discussed in length last week about the Harambe Market coming. Still no official announcement from Disney. Yet another week. We're up to about 250 days since we started this rumor. And still no official announcement from Disney, despite the fact that we've all kind of accepted this. We also have a little update on the water tower, which we spoke about. It's pictured in the artist rendering for the Harambe Market. It's also something that we've known about through construction permits and stuff. OrlandoParkNews.com, which they love to take pictures over construction walls, have some now of that area. And the thing that stuck out to me, I mean, we're still the only thing that seems to be getting paint and finishing is the water tower set. Mm-hmm. Everything else is still in the concrete phase. So this is the first thing that you see that you're kind of getting an idea of where they're going with this. I guess, Mike, what struck out to me is it's very different looking from the artwork. It's not what you see on the artist's rendering, which was a very sort of old-looking, it's still kind of old-looking, but a very sort of weathered-looking thing.
Right. And this, what we saw, I mean, there's like, it looks like almost like the head of an antelope. On one side, it's interesting. I'm not sure.
There's words of some kind put on there.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm curious to see what the final product will look like. But yes, it does look like it's darker than it looks on the concept art. But again, we already know the concept art was at least a little off. I mean, there's a whole building on it that seems to be missing. So I'm not sure how old that concept art is.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but that's the one thing we get out of that. I kind of like it. I think it looks kind of quirky and kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And I guess the only other thing I would kind of say about it is that when we first saw when you think of water tower, I think of two things. There's the kind of water tower one has in the community. You know, we see a lot of them out in the West, for sure. And then there are water towers that were built all along train lines throughout the world for steam trains that, you know, trains would stop and fill up with water. And that almost appears to be what this might be. So It gives me because of how close it is to the tracks themselves. Right. I mean, it's literally right on top of
it's on top of it.
And it's more the size of that kind of water tower rather than a big sort of community tower.
Right.
So it could, we've always talked about how I wanted to incorporate the train into the aesthetic here. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of wondering whether or not they will. It's hard to see how they can at this point because this is so close to the train track. It's right on top of it.
And didn't the permit, or whatever it was called, it referred to the water tower as something specific. I forget what it was.
Show set.
I mean, I wonder if it's going to be incorporated into the train ride itself. Like something happens when you pass. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be a little bit more to it than just a plain old pretend water tower.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it looks like just a big iron case right now, a big iron tub right now, and a fake old rabbit ears for a television next to it. and some really cool looking kind of animal artwork on it, some kind of words written there too. So mm-hmm. we're waiting for more photos, and you know we're going to talk about it when we get them. So finally, Mike, we told everybody last week about work soon to take place on the Flame Tree Barbecue mm-hmm. as well. And the counter service location is scheduled to close from, I think it was January through to April of next year. Closing right after Christmas, on January 4th or 5th or something like that.
The 5th.
Okay, and when we talked last week, we assumed, and I think others that reported this assumed this as well, that this was simply going to be an addition of more covered areas. Well, this week, it seems we may need to kind of revise that assumption a little bit, as Disney has filed paperwork with Orange County to begin work on a project called the Safari Cantina, which will be part of the Flame Tree property. Now, if you go to jomboeveryone.com and you go scroll backwards to a posting on November 26th, you will see a blueprint, and that was a blueprint included in, well, it's, I wouldn't call it a blueprint, but it's sort of a sketching, and that is something that was included in this this permit. Now, the permits don't say much. They just say who's doing the work, and it's something like Walt Disney Asset Managements or something like that. They call it by something. They give a brief description. They rarely ever say anything of any value other than these names, and then they give you this blueprint. Now, some people think you'll see, if you look at the blueprint, you'll see a spot that now says Safari Cantina and what is obviously a building. Some people think that building that's pictured here is actually the current Flame Tree Barbecue building, but we also know that the Flame Tree building is being expanded to some degree, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, from what I understand, two things are happening at Flame Tree. There's an additional sort of kiosk built right next to it, but the building itself for the Flame Tree, the covering is going to come out farther so that people waiting in line for Flame Tree will be covered from the elements, you know, specifically the rain. I'm not sure which one you're referring to, the sort of kiosk next to it?
Yeah.
My understanding from what I've been told, and you know, this is obviously has not been announced by Disney, is this is where the coffee kiosk, you know, the Joffrey's kiosk is going to go. For people who remember the park as of 6 months ago to a year ago, there used to be a coffee kiosk right as you were walking down the path, right to your right by the tip board. That has since been gone as they're expanding out that gift shop. So they were moving the Joffrey's kind of, you know, kiosk just down the path a little bit next to Flame Tree. That's my understanding. So what the Safari Cantina could be is just the name of this coffee kiosk.
That's possible. Yep. I mean,
one of the possibilities anyway.
It's hard to tell anything from these. It's hard to tell the size of the buildings or anything to that. I mean, I guess if you really could read these, you know, I guess 75 feet or something across it is what reading here from the measurements that are given. You know, do you have this picture up in front of you, Mike?
Not right now, no. But
okay.
I know it, though.
But there is a outline to the area that I guess is being worked on.
Right.
And it gives coordinates for the area, you know, that you can plot, and then it gives what I would assume are lengths, and 74.85, which it looks like it's 74.85 feet. 75-foot long kiosk seems a little excessive.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's hard to gauge, though. That could be the entire building, though, for the for the whole flame tree barbecue. It's hard to tell exactly what this, you know, where everything is in relation to everything else.
Here's what I would like it to be.
I mean, that looks like it's the pool in the center there. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
It does look like the pool in the center. Yep, it does look like water features are part of this.
Yep, go ahead.
For sure, but there's also paths. These could also be the paths that kind of ramble in between.
Correct.
You know, I would like it to be a bar. I'm thinking nighttime entertainment.
It could be.
Not far away. Open space. Bands playing. Music going. Need a drink.
Yeah, my guess is it's the coffee kiosk. That's my guess.
You killed that little dream of mine.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's... Like I said, I think that's the most likely scenario. But you could be right. I mean, who knows? Cantina is something that's usually typically used for, you know, a watering hole.
Yeah. However, having said that, the Safari Cantina is actually a name Disney already uses. It's also used for a cast member eatery at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Right. You know, who knows what it means?
Yeah.
The plot thickens, folks. The plot thickens. We are going to take a short break.
Speaking of plots.
Yeah.
Before we go off the topic of food, I just want to point you, Dave, to the Orlando Parks news. When they were talking about the new Pizzafari restaurant, I just want to read you what they said about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you saw this, and I know I'm throwing you a curveball here.
No.
The restaurant will share dining space with Pizzafari, talking about the new sit-down, celebrating the art of traveling with menu items representing destinations that inspired the creation of Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. That's the first, you know, clue or rumor I've heard as to what the new restaurant kind of will be offering.
This is from the same posting that we looked at last week?
Yep.
Say that and read that to me again?
Sure. The restaurant will share dining space with Pizzafari.
Right.
Celebrating the art of traveling with menu items representing destinations that inspired the creation of Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park.
Wow, that is a lofty goal.
I mean, but what does that mean? I mean, I'm not sure are we talking about just like items from Africa and Asia? Or are we talking, for example, Discovery Island is very Balinese.
Yeah, we'd have to include that.
But it even has inspirations from Mexico, Spain, Iran. I mean, there's some of the art and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how far it goes. I mean, but again, I mean, this is just one sentence in a blog post.
Right.
But I found it somewhat interesting. I thought I'd throw it out there to you.
Yeah, I mean, I like those kind of little tidbits. I'm interested to see what that means. Other people have reported it and had not included that. Mm-hmm. That little slice in there.
Correct.
That would fit. I mean, that would make sense. And certainly sound to me like it, you know, a menu like that and something like that certainly sounds to me to be more of, I don't know if this is going to describe what I mean right, but more of an adult-oriented type of restaurant rather than, you know, Pizzafari, if that makes sense. Also, it sounds like it would be more, an adult-oriented restaurant more so than maybe something like Be Our Guest. Like, we're not going to get a Lion King restaurant, something like that.
Right. It also, I think, more fits the theme of Discovery Island, which sort of takes its... I mean, it's not really set in one particular place. It has influences from various places all around the world. So it sort of kind of fits that theme as well, you know?
Yeah. Very cool. We will, I can't wait for some of this information to start to come out. I don't know what we're waiting for here. It seems like a lot of this stuff is going to be open in a matter of months. So I can only expect we're going to start to see this information maybe after the Christmas, crowds go away and You know, they need to start ginning up some more some more buzz in the internet. I'm not really sure, but we're waiting for it, and we will let you know as soon as we find out. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hand it over to Safari Mike for the world news, coming back on Radio Harambe in just a second.
Come on, gang. Let's take it home.
If you're like me, you're an Animal Kingdom fan who is just a bit tired of listening to so-called Disney experts who criticize our beloved park for being a, quote, half-day park. Well, it's time to put your frustrations into action by going to the Jumbo Everyone store at Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone and picking up one of our exclusive new Not a Half-Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and we will donate 50% of the profits to our conservation partners. The rest of it will go to helping keep Radio Harambe on the air and JumboEveryone.com on the web. Wear it the next time you visit the parks, or even better, the next time you attend a Disney fan meetup. Go to Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone today and wear your Animal Kingdom pride for all to see. And welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time for the world news, and as we do each and every week, for that we hand it over to Safari Mike. Mike, what is going on in the Disney world today?
Dave, we're going to go to Disney Springs as well as the new Fantasyland. But first, let's go to Disney Hollywood Studios, where we are hearing apparently the Comedy Warehouse, which over the last couple of years has made appearances during the busy holiday run, will again return to the studios this year, starting on December 21st and ending on January 4th. It's unclear to me where it's going to be, although I think previously it's been in the Sounds Dangerous Theater. But I guess as we get closer, maybe we'll find out more.
So we're just talking about a small improv show?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they had done that from year to year.
They did it last year. I know that. They put them there. I mean, there's a lot of things now not happening at Hollywood Studios. They certainly need some more things to do, especially for the busy holiday run. They've done it I know they did it last year. They might have even done it the year before that. It's the same people who, of course, played at the Comedy Warehouse when it was at Downtown Disney.
All those years
Pleasure
ago.
Island, yeah, or Pleasure Island at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Did you ever see that show at Pleasure Island?
Yeah. Well, Mike, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's something I kind of sort of wish they sort of did this all the time. I might even actually pop in every once in a while to see the improv show. But anyway, it's returning December 21st.
I would agree with you. I would think something like this would be a nice little addition to something somewhere, but who knows? I mean, if these guys are still on the payroll or still in the Rolodex, you never know. I mean, something like this may come back in some shape or form at Disney Springs when that's all done. Who knows?
Right.
You know, that's going to be evolving too. So, cool. Good news.
Dave, over in New Fantasyland, some intrepid people have uncovered perhaps a hint that Be Our Guest will start offering breakfast coming in March. It appeared on the website briefly that you might be able to book starting in March. You aren't able to book quite yet, but it was spotted in, you know, the rumor is going around that pretty soon Disney will announce that you'll be able to get breakfast at Be Our Guest.
Okay, what are you talking about? It was spotted. What does this mean?
It was on if you go to WDW Magic, which we go to often, they reported that some of their, you know, they had spotted it on the Disney website that it was going to be offered starting in March of 2015. You aren't able to make reservations for it yet, but it is apparently out there that you may, you know, it's. I'm not sure how to describe it appropriately, but you know, they think that it's going to be, this is still just a rumor, that it will start offering breakfast in March of 2015, which makes a lot of sense considering how popular the restaurant is. I'm surprised that they haven't started doing it already.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll cost a fortune, and you know how and it'll be Mickey waffles. You know, well, let me not be snarky right off the bat. Here's hoping that it is a little bit better than that. That they don't just put in the standard Disney breakfast, and they do make it a good breakfast destination, because that would be cool. That would be nice.
Well, I mean, the question is, will it be a sit down breakfast? Will it be a counter service like it is at lunch? I mean, it's hard to really. I mean, obviously, we don't know anything yet.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out more as we get closer and closer to March, assuming it is true.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hear that. What's next?
Dave, over at Disney Springs, a couple of things have started to open up. Most importantly, the parking garage has opened so that people can actually park and go into Downtown Disney or Disney Springs or whatever you want to call it.
I have never seen so many pictures of a freaking parking garage in my whole life. Why was this such a big deal? I mean, I understand. Listen, I understand that parking at Disney's at the Disney, I was just going to say the Disney Village at Downtown Disney Marketplace has been a unmitigated disaster for a long, long time, and perhaps this parking garage would make it better. That's fine. I understand that it needs to have a blurb on a website now and again, and that the information may pass around, but why are people tweeting pictures of it? It's a parking garage.
It's actually, for a parking garage, it's nice. It's certainly...
Is it made of concrete?
It is, but it's well lit.
Does it have a lot of white lines going in?
You know what it does have, though, Dave, which I thought was kind of interesting? There are sensors in the parking spot. So when you drive, to the end of a row, let's say, you can look down the row and there will be little lights on, on the overhang ahead above it where there's an empty spot. So you can actually look down the row and see like four or five lights lit up, knowing there are four or five open spots down that lane.
Unbelievable.
I mean, little things like that are make life a little bit easier. But it's certainly not worth. To be honest, I'm surprised there's not a website dedicated to this parking garage.
I mean, I never heard so much talk about a parking lot in my entire life. It was fascinating.
Yeah. I think it has to do with the fact that Downtown Disney has been such a nightmare for the better over. Is it been a year since they've closed all these lots? It's been a long time where parking down there was an unmitigated disaster. So the fact that it's finally opened, I think, is right in time for the holiday season has,
Mike, there were people posting pictures of the escalators. People posting pictures of the incredibly unremarkable looking elevators. I mean, it's a parking garage. It looks like a parking garage in any mall or airport anywhere near you.
Well, let's be honest, Dave. This is going to be the closest thing to an attraction Disney opens in the next 9 months. So.
It's true. But man, people went nuts over this. And you said there was more opening up at downtown?
The food truck park finally opened.
A
little area where they put these incredibly outrageously expensive food trucks.
God.
It looks nice. I'll give you that. I mean, there's some waterside seating. They have this high-line, it's not even a park, really, because you can't actually go up there. But this covered, supposed to be an abandoned train track high line where, some nice seating underneath that and kind of stuff. I mean, it's aesthetically nice, I suppose. But it is concrete and a food truck park. But, and it's those four food trucks that we talked about all those many months ago with the outrageously expensive stuff.
I'll tell you one thing about it. I the high line... I do like the concept. First, let's talk about the food trucks. This is something that we can only hope gets better as far as the pricing goes and what they're offering in there. It's
not going to, though.
I fear you're correct.
When has ever Disney lowered prices?
Well, no, they don't lower prices on what they're selling, but they can reintroduce the menus and do something.
Okay, that's fine.
Then do something different. The Highline itself, I find it a little aesthetically underwhelming as far as it looks brand new. It doesn't look like
the New York one.
Not just the New York one, because it does kind of look a little bit like the New York one. I mean, it's obviously that's what they're going after. But it doesn't look like, and maybe it's just because the pictures I'm seeing, it doesn't look like a former elevated train track. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Which I'm disappointed in that. For one thing, it's in a straight line.
You actually can't go up
there. Huh?
Yeah, that's true. You actually can't go up there.
It's just there for show.
For now, I mean, my understanding is there will be parts of it that you'll be able to go up and see. I mean, you know, and be like an actual Highline Park where you can just be seats up there and
right.
You can hang out up there. But apparently this part is not one of them.
Huh.
Certainly not now.
So you would think if they're just doing essentially facades that they would get that spot on. It's strange. I mean, it offers a lot of shelter. People can walk in the rain under there to the different shops. I mean, I like what it does. It's a great way to kind of add a little covered walkway while still having that downtown aesthetic. I like the idea. I'm just a little disappointed with the execution of it aesthetically. I just don't think it's as good as I was hoping it would be, I guess. I don't think it's as authentic looking as I was hoping it would be. That's all.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And do we have more?
We have one more, Dave.
We have one big one.
Yeah, one pretty big one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as big as initially I think people were hoping for.
Yeah.
But Disney announced a deal with Turner Classic Movies where it's sort of a give-and-take relationship between that and the TV channel. TCM will become the sponsors of the Great Movie Ride, and they're going to do some work on the attraction itself. However, the show scenes themselves will remain essentially unchanged, it appears. Maybe some refurbishment, but essentially you'll still be going through the same show scenes. What they're redoing is they're going to redo the beginning portion where you walk through the theater and see the old clips of the old movies. Now, instead, you'll have Robert Osborne, who's the host of TCM, sort of talking about important facts about the movies that you're actually going to go out and go see in the attraction itself. And also the clips at the end are going to be redone, so that montage at the end of the attraction will be, reworked. You'll be able to obtain some sort of, photo op afterwards. I can only assume that you in your car vehicle or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is mixed reports as to whether or not I've seen it. I think Orlando Sentinel was talking about how perhaps even Robert Osborne will be a part of the spiel during the course of the attraction itself, but that's not what TCM said in their press release. They only mentioned that he would be talking about the movies that you're gonna see, but in the pre-show sort of film itself. So that's kind of up in the air right now. I don't know how you feel about that before I get to the other part.
I love the pre-show for The Great Movie Ride. I think it's one of the best queues in all of Walt Disney World.
Okay.
I think it's terrific. I like what they're doing at the end. I think it's fun. It's fast. It throws a lot of stuff in. It's well put together. It's dated, obviously.
Right.
That needs to be fixed. They don't need a sponsorship with Turner Classic Movies to do that. I wonder what this does for them as far as the Great Movie Ride goes. I don't see how bringing in TCM helps them at all, because I don't, as far as just the ride goes. So I'm thinking this is probably about something else, probably about other parts of the deal here, because I don't see how TCM helps the ride at all. Maybe they're footing the bill for some little refurbishments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. So they're footing the bill for some refurbishments at the beginning and the end. I mean, that's as, as a silly reason as any to make a change to such a small change to an attraction. I'm kind of in the camp of hoping that, one day the you know, the cast member thing, the show elements will be removed and replaced with just more AA type stuff or more animatronic things. Obviously, from what you're telling me, that's not going to be part of this.
Mm-mm, no.
So it's going to stay the same kind of campy feel it has now. It's just beginning and the end is going to be changed to fit Turner Classic Movies.
Well, I mean, we'll see what they do in terms of the, you know, spiel during the course. Will that change? Will it become more just straight up, here we are in the Wizard of Oz, here we are in the, you know, Westerns? And I don't know.
If that's the case, I would applaud it.
Right. I agree.
I would like that because I think the other one is past its prime for sure.
I totally agree. Yeah, it's. I mean, I was talking on Twitter about this very recently. A Jungle Cruise with its, you know, comes across as classic and campy. Great movie, right? At this point, is just sort of old and lame.
Yeah,
It doesn't have the same kind of staying power to me. Those jokes and the way they handle it.
Yeah, the jokes need to be updated. They need to have changed a little bit. You know, it's not what it used to be. It used to have the blaze going and stuff like that. I mean, it's just once they decided they weren't going to do the really go the full way with it anymore, it didn't make any sense. And now the whole idea of getting into a movie and making a movie and stuff like that isn't even part of the theme of the park anymore. So, or at least that part's going away. So that whole sort of tie-in with the studio doesn't really fit anymore either. So if they are going to turn it into just basically a historical ride through the movies, great. I mean, I applaud that.
The other part of the deal, and the one that I am truly excited about, is TCM is going to start a program called Treasures from the Disney Vault, which will be these blocks of programming. First one being on December 21st, and my understanding there'll probably be about 5 or 6 of these blocks during the course of a year, where it's basically going to be 10 hours of classic Disney programming. The first one is going to actually be on December 21st, starting at 8 o'clock, and I'll give you the lineup. It's going to be the animated shorts, Santa's Workshop, On Ice, and Chippendale, which will be followed by the Disneyland story. For those who don't know, it's actually Walt describing to the viewers what Disneyland was going to be about. They're then going to play The Reluctant Dragon, which, of course, is a 1941 film. Then they're going to play Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier,
which
is sort of a compilation of the 3 episodes of the Fess Parker Show.
Wow.
Then for us, Dave, the Oscar-winning documentary The Vanishing Prairie, which was part of True Life Adventure Series. Then Third Man on the Mountain, which is a movie about climbing the Alpine. And then a documentary called Perilous Assignment, which was about the making of it. In the future, you'll get some other additional programming that's going to include the original Three Caballeros movie, Treasure Island, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad will be shown at some point. Documentaries like The Living Desert and The African Lion, which were big ones. And even a bunch of, we talked about this a couple of episodes ago with Matt Parrish from Wedway Radio, a bunch of the Silly Symphonies will be a part of this too, so you'll be able to see some of those in conjunction with this programming. So essentially, it'll be 10 hours, you know, TCM will just show back to back to back all this great, great stuff. This is a home run for me.
I don't do this often. Bravo, boys. Bravo,
yeah,
Disney.
Absolutely great.
That's fantastic. Who cares what they do with the ride? If this is what we get out of the deal, perfect. This is fantastic.
It's clearly the better part of the deal, clearly.
It's great. And it's for Disney nerds, you know, of which I count myself a card-carrying member of that group. We couldn't ask for better than that. I mean, to get the True Life documentaries, True Life
awesome.
Adventures back. I mean, come on.
I've never seen The Reluctant Dragon. I can't wait to see it.
Really?
I've never seen it.
The Disneyland one is really special.
Right.
I mean, that is for fans of Walt, that is really Walt in his shining best. I mean, that is really great stuff.
Right.
And you're going to love it. That's great. I can't wait. What day is that again, Mike?
That one and the first set that I told you about is going to be December 21st, starting at 8 o'clock. It's going to be about 10 hours.
I'm putting a reminder on my phone so I don't forget to set my DVR.
And also, they also say that special episodes from The Wonderful World of Color will be broadcast in future episodes too. I mean, a lot of great stuff, like some of the nature documentaries that we were talking about a couple episodes ago, and the silly symphonies and all that stuff.
And the old Disneyland shows, the old Disneyland TV shows. There was a show that they called Disneyland.
That's what I believe that was. Wasn't the Disneyland story from that?
Probably.
So
because that was leading up to the opening of. So yes,
mm-hmm.
I get those things confused. I can't remember that.
That's okay. But so you'll see that.
Davy Crockett. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be fantastic. I haven't seen that.
Wow.
I haven't seen that in such a long time. But it looks like maybe every couple of months you'll get this block of about 10 hours of programming. So make sure your DVRs are cleared out December 21st. Get ready to record.
Do you know how many men who are now, we would call baby boomers, the retiring generation, are going to go absolutely wild to see Davy Crockett again?
Oh, I mean, it was like the biggest thing in the world at the
time.
They
all had coonskin caps. I mean, that's great news. Very good. So that's it for the world news?
It is indeed.
All right, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to blue sky holidays at the Animal Kingdom. Coming back in just a second. I always look forward to our Blue Sky sessions. For those of you who don't know, Blue Sky is sort of an Imagineering phrase for the conceptual stage of something where people just sort of throw out ideas. Mike came up with this particular Blue Sky session, and when we were talking about wanting to do something for, to relate with the holiday season as we get into the holidays here, Mike wanted to give our blue sky ideas, just sort of things that we would like to see perhaps added or worked on or thought about for the holidays at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think we can all anticipate that in the coming years, this park is going to become more and more popular with more and more time in the calendar to fill, the daily calendar to fill, and bringing in some holiday cheer to the park may just be what the doctor ordered right around the busy holiday season. So, which one wants to begin, Mike? You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My thinking is, when people come to Disney for Christmas, they think of perhaps the Animal Kingdom as kind of something not Christmas related.
There's not too much there.
Correct. But, and I don't know why that is. Perhaps because people don't associate the ethnicities that are represented here, or the cultures that are represented here is a better word, with Christmas. That is true to some extent. However, Christmas has been part of Africa's calendar Christianity has been there since the first century. And through colonialism, and even through, I think there's something like 350 million practicing Christians on the African continent as well. The holidays, Christmas, is a big part of nearly every country in Africa. And as one would imagine, over the years, those kind of stories and traditions and things change from what we know about them, but yet are still an important part. And I think the first thing I would do is kind of, what do they call it, an Epcot Holidays Around the World?
Correct, yeah.
Right. It's kind of a cultural presentation of how Christmas is celebrated in Africa. And since Africa is now becoming such a large area, and perhaps we won't do this year, but maybe next year we can do this. We have all these different places we can do things. I'm thinking about adding some kind of holiday around the world thing. For instance, how about a African holiday storyteller? There are a lot of different story traditions around African. There's the holidays in Africa. There's all sorts of things. I mean, there's like a devil type creature in Liberia. There is all sorts of different kind of things like that. Some believe in Santa Claus. You know, some have different kind of ways in which they celebrate different types of ceremonies and stuff. How about somebody who tells those stories in one of those areas? In Ghana, they do, and in other countries as well, they do sort of like a Christmas parade or a Christmas play where they dress up in these real colorful holiday, we wouldn't think of them as holiday, but real colorful kind of costumes and parade around the town. How about a small parade like that where even the cast members who are from the area can dress up and get involved in it. And then the other thing I would think of for this sort of cultural thing is how about an African family holiday feast at the Tusker House? I'm just trying to think of all the things, you know, gathering, stories, food, everything that kind of is part of the culture that separates the way Africa celebrates the holidays from the way we do and right. Kind of bring that into Harambe.
I like that. I do like that. I would like especially the feast.
Yeah.
I like the feast.
I knew you'd like that.
That's a good idea.
So what's your first one?
Well, Dave, for the first one I'm going to go to is, it is, of course, the animal kingdom. So what animal do you think of when you think of Christmas? And that's reindeer.
Yeah.
I would bring reindeer to Rafiki's Planet Watch over by the affection section.
Very cool.
I'm not saying you necessarily have to name them Donner and Blitzen, but you can have like a little stall set up that's very Christmassy and it's decorations, and you can actually see reindeer from the north. And I think people would really like it. You know, they are fairly easily domesticated. There are places where you can bring them in. You know, there are plenty of places where you can bring them in.
Yeah.
People can maybe feed them,
right.
Enjoy them, and maybe you have like a cast member there talking about, you know, reindeer out in the wild and all that kind of stuff. I think it would be a lot of fun, a little nod and a little way to get people out to Rafiki's Planet Watch.
I've seen domesticated reindeer part of part of holiday celebrations, especially in the Midwest and places like that, and Alaska as well, I think, is where I've seen that kind of stuff too. That's a great idea. I think that would be really cool. They're impressive creatures. I mean, they really are. I mean, they're beautiful. So
they're smaller than you think.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
but they're really impressive. So I think kids would dig that for sure.
Absolutely, I think absolutely they would.
And even Rafiki's, because Rafiki's is what it is. You can even do like a Santa Claus kind of thing out there with them as well, because you're not breaking any sort of theme out there. You can do whatever you want. Rafiki's,
that's true.
So they could do anything like that. Sure, that's a great one. My next one is I'm thinking nighttime. I'm thinking music at night. We've been talking about that already earlier in the show. I would like to see a couple of specifically Buridika and Viva Gaia doing a couple of specific holiday music performances. And
okay.
What I would say is these are two bands that could do holidays in their style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Buridika doing the African style. They could do songs of any kind. They don't have to do like traditional Christmas carols. They could do whatever they want. Any kind of holiday song, if there is such thing. If there are African holiday songs, I have no idea. But even I've heard many bands doing, especially South African bands, doing Christmas albums, and to add the rhythm and stuff that a band like Buridika has to Christmas is really, really kind of cool. Viva Gaia can do the same thing with sort of a South American feel. Just specific Christmas songs, holiday performances, put them on the time guide as holiday performances by those two bands. And then only at night, I don't know why I think that, but I would say during the day they can do their normal performances, but at night when we're getting everybody in here, we're going to do sort of like a nighttime Christmas thing. Backing up to the other ideas that I have about the storyteller and stuff, I would do all this at night. I like the idea of at night we're turning it into the Christmas thing as the sun goes down, the lights come on. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see Harambe decorated in Christmas lights and stuff like that too, like kind of a, you know, older looking kind of weathered Christmas decorations and stuff like that would be really kind of neat. But that's my next one, a musical performances by Buridika and Viva Gaia.
I'm always up for musical performances by those two groups, so I'm with you.
Yeah, that'll be cool. What's next in yours?
We're going to go to a show as well, Dave. Now, these guys are actually Muppets, although Disney does not own the rights to them.
Uh-oh.
But one of my – I can't imagine it would be all that expensive, to be honest. But one of my all-time favorite Christmas classics is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh, boy.
And I would love to see a Christmas show based around Emmett Otter's. I'm not exactly sure where you would put it. I suppose you could put it in the Finding Nemo theater. Again, maybe it would just be night.
You could do it at Festival of Lion King.
You could do it there too. And just have, you know, over at, for example, Disney Junior Live on Stage, they have incredible puppets that they have a very good show. If you could somehow work that in and do just like a sort of retelling of Emmett Otter's with the music, which is fun. I think people would love it. I know I would. It's one of my favorites, so that's my second one.
I like that idea, and I also think that if you consider how easily during Harambe Nights they were able to switch the theater over to a different show.
Yeah, it might be better there. Yeah,
they could do it there as well, and you know, and just do a small stage show like that. Yeah, I almost think for something like that Finding Nemo might be a little big. The theater might be a little cold.
Yeah, it might be.
And maybe a smaller performance, you know, than mm-hmm. you would pack in there, you know.
And you can also bring back Kermit, because Kermit, of course, for people who have seen the show, actually introduces the, you know, does sort of the...
Yes, he does.
...opening sequence. So we could bring in Kermit.
Is Emmett Otter still a thing, Mike? People still watch it?
You know, every once in a while we talk about it during the holidays on Twitter, and people seem to... You know, certainly my age group, everybody knows it. I'm not sure... I mean, my kids know it just because I've made them watch it a few times.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how the younger generation really views Emmett Otter, but...
As a kid, it was a holiday tradition. I mean, it was on, I think, HBO every
Yeah, I have year. It on DVD, so I'm sure I'll watch it once or twice during the next 3 or 4 weeks. Absolutely.
Very cool. I think that's a good one. A little bit more...
Obscure?
Yeah. But I agree with you that our generation... and we're the ones with the little kids now, would bring their children to see this.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not, you know, it's not a big production we're not talking about.
No.
You know, just just some guys in suits in a musical kind of number. So it's because there's a lot of music in the film.
A lot of music.
Yeah. I mean, can we bring the River Bottom Nightmare Band to life on stage at the Animal Kingdom? I mean, that would just be fantastic.
It definitely would. It would be absolutely fantastic.
What do you think that goes back to, the 80s?
I think it's even earlier than that. I don't know. I might have to Google that.
1977.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John Denver wrote the music that, didn't he? I know he performed in one of the songs, you know, on the soundtrack.
I do believe he did, yeah. It is definitely worth seeing the film again, folks, if you haven't seen it in a while. And mm-hmm. a live stage performance of it would be fantastic. Finally, for me, in the 1990s, right after sort of the fall of apartheid, South Africa changed the name of Boxing Day, which is in Ireland, it's St. Stephen's Day. It's December 26th, the day after Christmas. They changed the name of that to Goodwill Day, or the Day of Goodwill is exactly how it's written. It is essentially a day where they sort of, where those of us with the means to do so give to those without. And it is sort of very much to me in the spirit of Charles Dickens and that kind of feeling of on the holiday, you know, giving to the poor and to the people in need. And not just people. It could also be any kind of charitable donation. My feeling is that we should have a day of goodwill at the Animal Kingdom. And it should be a day where we have conservation information available all over the park. We can have little kiosks and things and all that kind of stuff. But more importantly, I would donate 1%, see if Disney's willing to do this, of all merchandise sales on that day at the Animal Kingdom to the Conservation Fund. Perhaps pick one of the charities that deals not only with animals, but may also deal with people, with the poor in Africa. As much as we are always here talking about conservation for animals, Disney does a fantastic job of, you know, donating money and raising awareness. But some of the areas that we're talking about and that are the inspiration for the Animal Kingdom, some of the areas of Asia and certainly the areas of Africa that are the inspiration for this park are places that suffer severe poverty. So perhaps having a day of goodwill where we have not just conservation for animals as a focus, but also third world poverty issues as well. And I would do something. I'm just throwing out a lot of ideas there for how we can do the Day of Goodwill. But I would love to see Disney celebrate that day, December 26th, at the Animal Kingdom, the way South Africa does, in some way, shape, or form. That's you know, I'll leave it up to you and leave it up to whoever to come up with ideas for it. I just really love that name. And the idea of the day after Christmas being dedicated to that sort of spirit of Christmas that, man, goes back to the 1800s, goes back to Dickens and all of those things. So that's my last one.
I thought the day after Christmas was the day of returning your gifts.
That's only in the America, Mike.
Oh, all right.
We can do that over at the Magic Kingdom if you'd like.
The return of the day of finding your receipts. I like it. I like the idea. I mean, I'm not sure if you can convince the shareholders to pony up 1% of all merchandise.
I'm sure,
but, you know,
I can.
Maybe they would.
I'm sure
maybe,
I can.
Maybe they would.
For one, they could just say a portion of the proceeds and donate a dime if they want to anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But just for one day. You know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I kind of talk myself into one day sort of, you know, having a day where we talk about third world poverty at the Animal Kingdom. Because as I'm sure Mike will agree with me, that kind of poverty in the third world, especially in Africa, directly impacts the wildlife that we're trying to save.
Absolutely. When it's a poor country like that, there's just no money to protect their animals, and you know, people who, you know, that's where you find the most poaching, because when people who are on the brink of starvation, it's a choice between either their kids, you know, not eating or them eating an endangered species. They're gonna, you know, kill the, you know, endangered antelope or whatever, or hunt the rhino and try to sell the horn, or because they've you know, run out of other options.
Right.
So yes, you wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, third world countries are where conservation, obvious for many, you know, for obvious reasons, is takes a back seat to, you know, health care and, you know, food. So I agree. That's a very true.
And if we can help our fellow man in those areas, then we will also be helping our furry friends that we're looking to help as well. So, Mike, what is your final blue sky idea?
Well, Dave, my final idea is really not nearly as thoughtful to the rest of mankind as yours was. While you're coming up with, you know, exploring culture and trying to save the world, I'm talking about Emmett Otter and a boat ride.
Yes! I like boat rides. Everybody likes boat rides.
Dave, many zoos, including the Bronx Zoo at one point in time, would do something called like a holiday lights kind of thing. And that is, you know, they'd have not unlike Osborne Family Lights, but instead of, you know, just inundating you with lights on houses, they would have these, you know, it would look like animals and things like that, you know, sort of naturalistic scenes. I kind of like the idea of bringing back the Discovery River boats. And I'm not sure how plausible this is with the Rivers of Light construction going on, but having lights like that set up around the river and you take a cruise along the river, seeing all these, you know, natural list, the sort of lights of like various scenes of you know, nature. And I would play music. The first music that came to my mind was the Christmas loop at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's kind of this funky kind of African Christmas music. If you could play that going as you, you know, drift around the river for 20 minutes, looking at the holiday lights and stuff, I think that would be a fun, fun thing for people.
I love it. And I being one who does fondly remember the Christmas lights at the Bronx Zoo, which I wish they would still do.
They do them at Turtleback, Dave, just so you know.
Yeah, you went there last year, correct?
Mm-hmm, and it's free.
Yeah, I may have to do that this year because I kind of didn't know until the very late in the season that they were doing it.
Yeah.
But if it's worth going, then I'll definitely go to. I miss it at the Bronx Zoo, but that kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a great idea. This is a great idea and an easy idea, and it uses the Discovery River, mm-hmm. which is grossly unused, although we're apparently changing that. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I love it. Great idea.
And I like the music idea, too. I mean, we don't need a narration. We don't need anybody talking. Just the nice Christmas music. I mean, if you want to do regular Christmas music, that's fine, too. My thought was the Animal Kingdom Lodge has a Christmas background loop. And if you go actually on the Disney Hipsters YouTube page, you'll get the whole loop. It's really good. It's a little different, and I think it would be perfect.
It's off the wall, yeah. It's kind of, there's some great stuff on there.
It's great. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Cool. So that's it for our blue sky for the Animal Kingdom holidays, right?
That's it for me.
All right. Thank you once again for tuning into Radio Harambe. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on iTunes if you don't already. Leave us a review there. We haven't had one in a little while, I don't think. We can certainly use them.
Come on, people.
Yeah, the reviews really help get the word out on the show, gets us up on the list, gets kind of the... you know, kind of more eyeballs onto our podcast. So if you have not given us a review, please, please, please do so. It does help. Don't forget to check out our website, johnboyeveryone.com. Find everything you need to know about the Animal Kingdom. We also ask you to check out our store, where we are selling some great unofficial Animal Kingdom-inspired stuff. All of our profits go to our conservation partners. You can also go to our conservation page and learn about them and what you can do to donate to them. Also, feel free to follow us on Twitter. I am at Radio Harambe. Mike is at Jombo Everyone. We're also at Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. Find all those links in JomboEveryone.com. So, for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well, and thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe. Kwaku walfamelako na kungungu.